Everybody get up, it's time to slam now. We got the real jam going down. Welcome to the Space Jam.
Comes into Jordan. Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win it! They win it! Kemba Walker. Step back.
Hello and welcome to the final episode of the year of Full Court Press. As always, I'm Josh Franz, joined with Nick Merrick. On today's show, we're going to recap all four game ones in the NBA, tell you who we think is going to win this round, the conference finals, and tell you who our NBA champion is. But Nick, let's start with you. Let's start in the Western Conference. We've had two matchups so far. Let's start with last night's Golden State-San Antonio game. What did your mind tell you with that one?
Wow. Well, first off, at least the NBA is finally surpassing NHL in my mind in terms of playoff fun. Some good games now, finally. After that first round, it gets the exciting part. I don't know. This was a fantastic game. I didn't expect Golden State to really hang with the Spurs on the road as well as they did. Not only that, to have a lead. I think it was as high as 12 with a couple minutes left in the fourth. Until the Spurs were able to close it up. But then obviously, okay, the play of the game is going to come down to the double OT. The big shot by Ginobili, whether he should have taken it or not, he did it, he drained it, he was wide open. People were like, why are you doing it?
Well, there were 2 seconds left. That's not the shot that everybody was mad that Ginobili took. It was the other one with 11 seconds on the shot clock, 50 seconds or so in the game, and he just fired a three from 5 feet behind the three-point line and bricked it completely.
He got
he redeemed himself in the best way possible.
Yeah, he did, by getting the game winner.
Popovich said it best in the post-game press conference. He said, I wanted to trade him on the spot and then wanted to cook him breakfast in the morning. And that made all the reporters laugh, which is something Popovich doesn't do because he doesn't really talk that much.
That's true.
But it was nice to hear some raw emotion out of him.
What was big is, I mean, it just showed how good Curry is.
Curry's phenomenal.
But it brings
this question to the series. Can Curry by himself, or with the small supporting cast that he has, beat San Antonio when 4 of the 7 games would be in San Antonio?
I think they could do it. It's going to be hard. It's going to be an uphill battle, yes. But okay, we know, forget the three-point. We know they're phenomenal there. Harrison Barnes had some freshman mistakes. He did a couple of fouls late in that double OT. But he proved that he deserves to be there. His double-double numbers pointed out. I mean, yeah, okay, it's double-double with 2 extra overtime periods.
That's fine. But he's playing a great stretch four with David Lee's out.
Bogut's been playing phenomenal.
Right, he's playing like the guy they traded for, the all-star that he should be in this league.
He's going to be the difference maker. So if you're going to pick one guy, we know what we're going to get from some of the other players. If Andrew Bogut can consistently grab boards and he can match up well in the inside with Duncan, or is it Blair, their backup?
Yeah,
either one. Then that could put them to the next level. Golden State's still in it. Can they do it? I think they have a chance of winning in 7. I really do.
Wow, that's a pretty bold statement. We did some bold statements last week. This one wasn't one of them from you, and it's not going to be one from me this week. I think San Antonio is going to get increasingly better as this series goes along. I respect the hell out of what Mark Jackson has done so far with the Golden State Warriors, but there's no way he's even close to the coach that Greg Popovich is. He doesn't have the same talent on the floor that Greg Popovich does with the Spurs. So to me, he's going to figure out how to execute, how to stop Steph Curry. And down the stretch, Golden State does not seem like they want to work the ball through Andrew Bogut. And if they're not going through him in fourth quarter and overtimes like they weren't last night, and Steph Curry's tired because he's playing 57 minutes, I don't see how there's any way that he being tired and fatigued and Klay Thompson being fouled out, they're going to be able to beat a San Antonio team that is well-rested and deep, that's going to be high-energized at the end of games, and a veteran ball club that knows how to execute. And I think San Antonio's going to win this in 5 or 6.
Yeah, it's going to be a good series. I mean, it's going to come down, I don't know, the fourth quarter. We're just looking at game one stats, so we can't really, and our knowledge on the first and how they did the season. But in the fourth quarter, Golden State can't afford to blow a lead like that. I understand what people are saying now, too. My roommate's a fan of the Warriors, and he's going, we're done. Forget it. It's over. But he's just panicking because the team blew one lead in the fourth. So did LeBron. We're going to get to that later with the Heat. But they didn't blow a lead.
It's different when you're experienced.
True.
And when you're the favorite.
But, yeah,
and when you have more
talent. This is a team that wasn't supposed to really make a
splash. And you're the best player
in the world. They were a 6 seed. They aren't even supposed to win on the first round. And they're given the second best team in the West. a good run for their money.
Right, but the thing about a seven-game series as opposed to a one-and-out at college basketball is the better executing team, the better coach team, is gonna find a way to change over those seven games.
Yeah, if we're going back to
win.
March Madness coaching, it's going to be Popovich.
Right? That was our theme through the college basketball part of the season, and Popovich
kind of worked out.
For the most part.
Yeah, the big names in the Final Four.
Right. So I don't see how the Spurs wouldn't be able to pull this one out. Unless they can't stop Steph Curry. But Kawhi Leonard down the stretch looked like he could contain him as well as anybody can. Yeah. And Golden State hasn't figured out a way to not turn the ball over when the pressure's on, which could be a big issue going forward.
No, good point. They're very good at handling it. Actually, all their nobody in the starting lineup had more than three turnovers. Well, Ginobili had the most, I guess, at four. But he's not technically a starter. Whatever.
I was talking about Golden State. They haven't figured out a way to close games without turning the ball over.
Oh, gotcha. So the opposite way. Well, right. You could argue defensively, too. I just kind of ran with it. Okay, so we'll see how that one's going to shape out. If I want to go bold prediction, I'm really intrigued by the West. And going over the other matchup between Oklahoma City and Memphis, as bad as this sounds, at this point, if it was a 6-4 matchup with Memphis and Golden State, I wouldn't be surprised. I'd be a little bit flustered. I'd be like, wow, well, it didn't shape out the way that anybody expected it to. But the way these two teams are playing now in playoffs is pretty impressive.
Yeah, get Golden State out of your mind. That's not happening. But move on to the Memphis and OKC series. And the game wasn't too similar, but the endings had some similarities between those two. I mean, Memphis should have won the game, and then they should have sent it to overtime if Quincy Pondexter could hit his free throws.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah, he wasn't able to close the deal. Durant, give him credit, he played like the Magic Johnson-type player I told you he would need to with his, 15 boards to go along with his 35 points.
Yeah, it was unreal.
But I don't think he's going to be able to do that every night. And if he is able to do it every night, I don't think Kevin Martin's going to be able to produce every night.
See, I'm the same way. This is where you really, really need Westbrook.
Or Harden. Harden's the guy you should have.
Or Harden. But either one. I mean, like, okay, he's been off the team for the year. But the fact that you had an injury just during the playoff starting.
Oh, it hurts.
It hurts a ton. And this is where, you know, Jackson's playing quality minutes. Good for him. Reggie Jackson's been playing pretty well, even though he did have that foul. He got the game-winning shot, but he still had that foul on
Derek Fisher's
on
been hitting shots like nobody's business.
Yeah, but Fisher has two. But exactly
Durant,
what you mentioned. Is Kevin Martin going to be your number two guy? Can you really trust on him to have phenomenal? He needs to literally have 20, 25-point nights every single day.
Right.
In that series for the OKC.
And I don't think it's going to happen. Kevin Martin could be relied on as a three guy. If OKC was playing the Clippers and Ibaka was able to dominate Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan and be the number two guy, then Kevin Martin could slide in that third slot and be perfect. But Serge Ibaka is not going to have his way with Marc Gasol and Zach Randall.
No.
It's not going to happen. Well, he's longer than those guys. He's more athletic than those guys, but so were Blake Griffin and DeAndre Jordan.
One for ten.
Zach Randolph and Marc Gasol, they're too strong. And they're too smart for Serge Ibaka to have his way down there. He's going to be a presence defensively because he's the best shot blocker in the league. But he's not going to be able to dominate games. He's not going to be that number two scoring threat that the Thunder need. And I don't trust Kevin Martin day in, day out.
How about this? 8 missed free throws, too, for Memphis. That was big.
It was big. They had opportunities to win the game, and they didn't do it.
Yeah, they could have won it earlier.
One of those missed free throws was the second free throw they needed to make.
Right.
The third one was the one he did on purpose.
Right.
So,
okay,
before
seven
that,
missed free throws.
Before that, they only going into the last 5 seconds of the game, they only had 6 missed free throws all game. That's not a huge problem. Like, obviously, you don't want to miss any free throws, but it's not a big deal.
Oh, I'm just looking at this now. I'm like, am I doing my math wrong? This is crazy. I think online script the math. Anyways, it says there are 10 missed free throws, but I still don't count 10.
Let's throw out the free throw argument.
Whatever.
They should have won the game.
Yeah.
But okay, so who do you see winning the rest of the series? It sounds like we both have Memphis going through.
Yeah, I can see it now because I don't think Durant's going to have. Yeah, he's phenomenally Superman, whatever you want to call him. If you want to steal some nickname, go for it.
He's not the third Superman after Shaq and Dwight. No, give him his own name. We haven't come up with it yet.
Batman.
We're not getting a Marvel collection right now. Okay,
who's the Hulk?
Stop.
Marc Gasol.
No. Stop.
I think the Grizzlies come out of this. I mean, I was kind of hinting toward it, and you really did. Now that you've had the Grizzlies come out, I didn't really care who won, the Grizzlies or Clippers. I thought either team could beat the Thunder just because Westbrook is a huge loss on the offensive side. I mean,
right.
Westbrook's not the best defender for a point guard.
He's one of the best steal guys in the league.
Yeah, but if you get past them,
right.
then
but Ibaka's golden.
There. Right.
And then it's helpful.
Yeah, it is helpful. You got one of the best shot blockers and the best stealers, which is why he can go for all the steals.
Right.
I think the Grizzlies come out of it, whether it's Grizzlies, Spurs, Grizzlies, Warriors. I think I'm going to run the Grizzlies to the finals.
Okay. So you did not just pick the Grizzlies to beat OKC. You picked the Grizzlies to beat the winner of the Golden State-San Antonio series.
Yeah.
Which is the toughest decision I'm having to come with. But you know what? I'm going back to coaching.
All right.
So after Memphis beats OKC, I'm having the Spurs go to the finals.
You got to live on the edge. I got to live on the edge a little bit.
It's an odd-numbered year. The Spurs win in odd-numbered years. They do it, what, 03, 05, 07, 99.
The only thing I miss about this is you and I were talking earlier when watching the game is this is when we really want Rudy Gay back.
Right.
So if it's a close game,
yeah, we're watching the Memphis game. They're like, all right, they're down by 3, 5 seconds left. You don't run it for Marcus Gasol. You don't run it for Tony Allen or Mike Conley. We're like, do you run it for Tayshaun Prince? No, they run
it. He's inbounding it.
They run it, right? How are you going to do that? Y'all always say you got to watch that inbounder. But they run it for Quincy Pondexter, and he got a good look, and he got fouled. He did his job, but he just wasn't able to put the game away at the line,
right.
which is something he should have been able to do.
Right. And it was a great call on that one, too, from the baseline. The referee called the touch.
He hit him right on the elbow. It was very clear, and the ref did his job. He did it right. So I have San Antonio in the finals. You have Memphis in the finals.
Yes.
Now let's move on to the East and pick see who we're going to play. So we've seen two games now. We've seen Indiana beat New York in a game that Indiana looked better because Melo has not looked like Melo lately.
I don't know what happened to him.
What are you thinking out of that series right now?
I don't know. It's one game. This one's a little harder to tell. The other one's kind of like you could see the competitive edge from both sides. The East a little bit, I don't know. It's kind of up in the air. Like there's really no, besides the Heat, there's really no team that's just like dominating it.
Right.
They've all been a little bit streaky. The fact the Pacers came in, you know, they got some good minutes out of the bench, too. And that was very helpful. But it's kind of the same thing we had with OKC. If you don't have Kevin Durant, who are you going to? Are you really going to go to Kevin Martin? That's kind of been the issue with the Knicks now. If you don't go to Carmelo, who are you going to?
I mean, And J.R. Smith has not been a second option his entire career.
No.
That's not something he's not been that reliable guy.
No. And Felton's played some good minutes. He's at least experienced. But, like,
you can't throw the ball into Chandler. You can't throw it into Kenyon Martin.
No.
You're not throwing Martin into anybody in the post.
Even the announcers were making fun of him. They're like, whoa, there's a rare feat, 18-footer. And they were like laughing on air when he made the shot.
Well, yeah, you and I were watching this game together. I'm like, why does he have the ball out there? Why is he shooting? How did that go in? what is he want? Kenyon Martin with the 18-footer? What is going on in the world?
But too bad Marcus Camby can't rewind about 7 years.
Right, and Rasheed Wallace was on the roster earlier in the year. He's not there. He was actually a post threat when he was there.
Yeah, he was.
But who knows if that's how this team wants to play. Amari Stoudemire is rumored to come back. How do you think that would affect this series?
At this point, it will help because they just need some kind of press. I don't know. I mean, we played with the head games earlier, whether the Melo-Stoudemire egos would clash. At this point, you got to put aside differences. Melo's got to be like, dude, I need you. You need me. It's you and I got to take this team to the finals or even to the Eastern Conference Finals if they can't get out of this round.
I think any team that makes the Eastern Conference Finals that loses to Miami should consider it a successful year.
Yeah.
Because they went as far as they could and lost to the best player in the world.
Right. And then maybe...
But here's the thing. I think Melo is playing so much more unselfishly than he was earlier in his career. He's not a ball stopper anymore.
No.
He's running through the offense. He's coming off screens. He's making quick decisions. And I think that's somebody who Stoudemire can play with, especially if they're in a pick and roll together or setting off ball screens. I think it could mesh now better than it would have with Mike D'Antoni or any of the other coaches.
Coaching change was huge, but you know who's been a ball hog? Was the guy you mentioned, can you be your second option? And no, J.R. Smith.
Well, it's tough to call him a ball hog when he's in there to shoot the basketball. His only role is to shoot. They know that when he comes in. He's not a distributor.
Right, but then it's so easy to defend. That's why he struggles.
Well, he's struggling right now because his shot's not good. He can normally shoot over anybody, or if he's got a bigger guy on him, take him to the basket. But when his jump shot's off and Melo's jump shot's off, this team lives and dies by the jumper, and Indiana is the best team in the league at preventing teams from taking three-point shots, and the Knicks rely on their three-point shots to win games.
Yeah,
so
the Pacers are the best. They're leading, what, four categories, I think, or something like that, defensively?
Frank Vogel's done a hell of a job.
It's ridiculous, yeah.
So, with all that being said, who do you pick to come out of the series, Pacers or Knicks?
If you're going coaching experience.
Frank Vogel and Mike Woodson.
I don't know. I'd go with the way Vogel's turned things around this year. This one's tough. If I'm saying Amari's not coming back for this series,
okay.
I'm going to go with the Pacers.
I'm going to go with the Pacers, too. I think they're too big inside. They're built to win in the playoffs.
And they have depth.
And they can stop the Knicks from scoring. The depth is key. So I think we're going to see a Pacers, and dare you take the Bulls to beat the Heat?
No.
No, me neither.
No.
So we'll just
I love game one being a Bulls fan. I was like, wow. I mean, I had to work on some final stuff. But
don't we all? But it's all done now.
Man.
We're done with finals. This is the most free we felt during a podcast all year. We couldn't be any happier.
Do a little stretch in the studio here.
Right? You're wearing your Bulls red shirt, but I guess it could also be mistaken for a Miami red shirt, depending on what city you're in. Here in Arizona, we're kidding, a Cardinals red. But so you're gonna pick Miami to come back in this series.
Yeah. I mean, good for the Bulls. I have no idea how they did it without forget it. You have Rose gone, no Heinrich, and no Dang, and they're both going to miss game two.
And that other guy, Derrick Rose, is out.
Oh, yeah. That's what I said. Well, I said put aside Rose because he'd been gone for the year, so it's not like they'd gotten there. But, yeah, still, obviously it matters. But the fact that even the, probably your 2-3, if you say behind Noah. Noah is your one at this point in terms
Nate
of...
Nate Robinson is their one at this point.
Well, good point.
He's their third-string point guard, and he is leading his team to success. Nobody's been able to shut him down on the defensive end, and I don't know why.
Why
can't anybody stay with him?
He's possessed.
Oh, okay.
I'm convinced.
Okay, well, if that's the answer, then I've got Chicago winning the entire thing, because nobody can beat a possessed point guard. It's just not going to happen. But granted, assuming he's a normal human being, and... the Miami Heat have better human beings on their basketball team, I think that they're going to find a way to stop. And if Eric Spoelstra can't find a way to stop Nate Robinson, he deserves to be fired.
Okay, well, here's the thing. With Dang out, I don't think I've seen anybody in the – well, anybody at least second half of the season guard LeBron James as well as Jimmy Butler did.
Jimmy Butler presents some of the same issues that Dang does. He's long, he's 6'7", he's young and athletic.
He's
got to be at least 50 pounds less than LeBron.
Right.
We saw on the fast break, Jimmy Butler grabs him, tries to pull him to the ground. LeBron stands up and throws it in with his left hand. And LeBron James, for that reason alone, needs to play more in the post. He needs to do it. He can get high percentage shots whenever he wants. He commands a double team, and he's got shooters to kick to. Play in the low post, present a threat there, and you'll run away with the series.
I still laugh that we see when you said the best player in the league, and we're looking at 24 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists.
And it was a
bad game.
He
for
did
him.
Not play well, but he's a numbers
machine.
Which
is hilarious.
Right.
Yeah, he just racks up. But, I mean, here's my two X factors. One is Dwayne Wade's not going to have that poor performance again.
Do you think he's healthy? That's been remembered, right?
That's true. It's questionable.
I think he's going to be fine.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. If I don't know. The way I've seen from, come on, Kirk Heinrich with the calf injury. We were talking about this the other night, too. I was talking with some other guys, and just like, are you kidding me? Like, what? How do you have a calf injury? It's either a cramp. How do you pull a calf muscle? Like, this isn't
it
like.
It happens. You don't control this
stuff. No,
I know. It's just unfortunate.
I know. I mean, these guys are super fit. But here, okay, so X Factor is Dwayne Wade. We're going to see how he goes, because we know LeBron, no matter what, the numbers are still going to be the same.
And at this point, is Joakim Noah not an X-factor anymore because you're just expecting greatness out of him?
No, I'm going X-factor as the Chicago's depth, injury. If they can get healthy, yeah, they can work with it, but can you consistently have five guys go about 40 minutes a game?
No. Joakim Noah can do it because he's a freaking machine, but I don't know if anybody else can consistently do it. And that's the same thing we're saying about Steph Curry in Golden State.
I mean, the two guys that led the minutes were Jimmy Butler with 48 and Bellinelli with 46.
Yeah.
What?
Bellinelli's a starting shooting guard, but do they have a backup?
No, that's the whole point. Because they have literally nobody on the bench then with all those injuries.
Right.
I mean, Gibson's like the only guy. Pretty much, and then they put in Teague for 8 minutes because they're like, oh my God, I'm desperate to give the guy a break.
And I got
to
give Nate Robinson a break.
Yeah. Being a now
Marcus
a fourth string court.
How good of a fourth string point guard is Marcus Teague? Well, first of all, Nate Robinson's the best third string point guard to possibly ever play the game of basketball. But Marcus Teague coming in there. But this Miami Heat half court trap that they're doing with rookie Marcus Teague handling the ball is working every time.
Yeah.
And that's why the Heat started to make a little run there to close out the first half. And then started to pull away a little bit. But they just need to put pressure on them defensively, because LeBron is going to get his rest. Wade's going to get his rest. And when they're rested and they've got a guy playing point guard who's a rookie or who's been in there for 45 minutes, pressure the basketball.
Right.
Create turnovers. These guys are tired. They're not great at handling the ball when LeBron James is on them. LeBron just needs to play aggressive defense, post up, win the series in 5 or 6 games. They can win 4 straight.
Exactly. If you go by that game plan, then keep in mind you still have other options. Because we've already talked about the starters, but on top of that, you're talking the bench with Shane Battier, Norris Cole, Ray Allen, and Mike Miller.
Yeah, they're deep.
And then even Chris Anderson, throw him in there too.
Oh, the Birdman is a big factor. He needs to be able to neutralize Noah. They come in with the same amount of energy. Noah out-energized him in the first game, got some O-boards, some putbacks.
Crazy Birdman.
Birdman's got to be able to offset that. And if he can, if somebody in this league can offset Noah, it's him or Varejao. But he needs to be able to offset Noah, and the Heat will be just fine.
And points off turnovers are big too in that game one.
So we
both had 22, Heat had 10.
Right, so we both have Heat moving on and Pacers moving on.
Yes, but I don't. The Heat Bulls series will be fun.
They'll all be good games until probably the closeout game will be a blowout.
Yeah, the funny part is, out of all these games, the one that could be the most joke is the one where I said is probably the Spurs. Even though I'm still going with the.
You can root with your heart instead of your head. It's okay.
Not even with my heart. It's just, I don't know. I just want to. There's always something that dices up. I just want to get a change.
Okay, that's fair.
Just for conversation's sake.
So we've got Pacers, Heat. What are you thinking?
I think it's the Heat.
Can you elaborate, please?
I mean, there's really no elaboration needed. We kind of just been basically bowing down to them and kissing their toes for everything they've done. I mean, they're still a phenomenal ball club. It doesn't matter if
the biggest threat is going to be Roy Hibbert inside and Paul George. LeBron can probably guard Paul George, but then Roy Hibbert's going to cause trouble. And if they need to double team him, that's going to lead to some open shots, and Pacers have shooters to take advantage.
Do you agree with me on this? I think that the Pacers, we both have the Pacers coming out of it.
Yeah.
The Pacers-Knicks, out of those two teams, I think the Pacers have a better chance of winning the series against
because
the
Heat. Of their size.
Yes.
Yeah. They pose the same threat that Memphis would pose to Heat
exactly.
If they met in the NBA Finals somehow.
Which high road?
What? You have Memphis in the Finals, don't you? Okay. So we'll see. I mean,
I'm cheating. You get to see some games and
Paul
cheat.
George is phenomenal, but Dwayne Wade can be a top defender in the league when he has his heart into it. And there's no reason why in the Eastern Conference Finals his heart wouldn't be there.
Right. I don't know. It's going to be that'd probably be a fun. That could be an interesting series too. I think the Heat would probably take that one like 5 or 6.
I think it could go 6 or 7. So we'll say 6.
Okay.
How's that?
We'll go with 6 games.
Heat and 6. So now we've got the Heat in the finals up for both of us. I've got the Spurs. You've got the Grizzlies. Who do you have winning it?
Again, this is a crapshoot. We've been changing it. We've been seeing things differently. So take it.
I've said all year the Heat are going to win.
Take it liberally. I'm going with the Heat too.
Okay.
But the fact of the matter is you can't.
You have the best player in the world in LeBron James.
Right, but we can't predict this now. We haven't seen enough. We haven't seen the matchups yet. This is a really long shot if we're going to go out that far. Based on literally what now? A max of
5
games if you went that far. Which nobody, the Bulls did. The Bulls
went to 7 and played 1. They played 8 games.
They played 8 games. They're the only ones that played 8 games. So not even that much. That's how much we're judging it off of based on how they've looked in playoffs. So I'm going to say the Heat, same thing we've always been mentioning. I don't think, if I have Memphis, I did it because it would be an interesting matchup like you just previewed for me with the big guys. And I think it could be a big test, and we'll see if the Heat could beat the Memphis, they would truly deserve to win. If they beat the Spurs, people are going to be, I don't know how to phrase this.
With but 3 future Hall of Famers and a Hall of Fame head coach, you don't think they would get credit for beating the Spurs in the finals?
They would definitely get credit. But I don't know. The way sports always works, you're going to have somebody saying they're old, kind of like with Boston would have made it to the Eastern Conference Finals against them.
They're older, but they've got guys like Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green, who are both young. Tony Parker is only 30. They've got youth on this team that's carrying the veterans. I mean, Manu and Tim Duncan are just fine, but they're not scoring. They're not combining for 60.
Right, and Thunder's fans would blame
Westbrook.
The Westbrook injury. Grizzlies have literally nothing to lose.
Right. Well, they have no excuses. This is their year to go and make a run.
Yeah.
Same with the Bulls if they had Derrick Rose, but
I guess their excuse could be if we only had Rudy Gay. But
that was a decision that the front office made.
But they've been better without him almost.
Right. Well, Zach Randolph and Rudy Gay had trouble sharing the basketball.
Right.
And then the point guard has to fit in there somewhere too.
It's kind of like the whole thing with Melo and Stoudemire last year.
And then if Jeremy Lin was still there, it'd be a head case.
Oh, man. That'd be ridiculous.
So we both have the Heat winning.
Yes.
I've got Heat over San Antonio in 6. You have Heat over Memphis in
5.
Wow. Okay.
I think they'll, if they get to the finals, the Heat seem to just, we've only seen it like once, but seem to just pull away with things.
Well, LeBron is 1-2 in NBA finals. He lost in 2004, Cleveland at San Antonio.
That's
which
true.
They were completely outmanned.
Yeah. It was literally him that got them there.
Right. They lost to Dallas 2 years ago.
Yep.
And then last year they got their revenge on well, not Dallas, but they managed to win the NBA Finals regardless.
Yeah, but see, look, that was an interesting Dallas team, too. That was a better overall team, and that's kind of why both you and I like our San Antonio slash Memphis picks, because they're kind of, they're almost shaped just like the Mavericks of a few years back.
Similar. And they've got the veterans, they've got the young guys, they've got the shooters, the inside looking, presence.
Yeah, they have a good, they're just a shop.
They're built well.
Yeah, they're just very well built organization.
There you go.
There it is. I can't talk.
And the Spurs have been for years.
Yeah. Well, yeah, everybody's, nobody can complain on that one. I think people are just waiting to get them out. There's so many
Tim
Spur
Duncan
haters.
Retire. Tony Parker retire.
Literally, they're going to be like, the second Tim Duncan retires, it's going to be so much easier for us.
Right, they thought, like, David Robinson's getting out of the league. We'll finally have a break from the Spurs. Oh, wait, they just drafted this guy, Tim Duncan. He's going to be pretty good.
Yeah. And then he was.
Yeah, and he'll be a Hall of Famer right the first day he's eligible. So will Manu and Tony Parker and Greg Popovich. And who knows? I mean, for all we know, Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green are going to be also. We don't know when this run's going to end.
That's true.
But we know that Full Court Press is going to end. We hope you enjoyed our first season, a total of 18 episodes previewing and reviewing and recapping and talking about college basketball and the NBA. We'll be back next year doing it, as long as Nick wants to stay on board with me here.
I think we'll make it work. We'll figure out our schedules. We'll make it work.
So that'll do it for the first season of Full Court Press. Enjoy the playoffs. Be happy finals are over. Woo-hoo! For Nick Merrick, I'm Josh Franz. We'll talk to you next year.